What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to the Cold Seat Podcast, where the seats are cold and the takes are hot. Mock Draft Monday 4.0 coming at you guys today. Pretty crazy they're already on 4.0. We're recording this on Sunday, April 7th, which means we are 20 days away from the draft today. Or I guess from ending the draft today. 18 days away from round one. 20 days from now, the draft will be wrapped up. Driving back to Lubbock, probably back in Lubbock by now, after the drive from Dallas. But yeah, nonetheless, pretty wild that we're already here at Mock Draft 4.0. It feels like just yesterday we kicked off positional rankings with the safeties and the tight ends. So it's definitely gone by fast, definitely the fastest the draft process has ever gone, I know. It was now 3 years ago. Wow, man, it's crazy, 3 years ago. When Brent and I were in the dorms, living in Wall Hall 406, shout out.
Uh-huh.
That was the war room for real. That was really the war room. I'll be honest. That was the war room. That was a long draft season. Granted, we were cooped up in the dorm, still kind of dealing with COVID, right? Like, you know, a lot of our classes are online. So we were sitting there in the dorms literally every day. We'd plug one of the laptops into our massive TV that was probably too big for that room, but neither of us cared. And we plugged the computer to the TV. And we would run three round mock drafts. We'd sit there for an hour and pick for all 32 teams through three rounds.
No, it was fun. We'd have the speakers paired up playing something random.
The JBL speakers would be paired up.
I remember, you know, obviously Orlando Brown came out with the tweet that he was a left tackle, and I had being traded. It was like Orlando to Jacksonville 7.0. Like, Orlando to.
When TDN was the king. This is back when they were the top dog. And I don't think I think Trevor Sikkema was still there, Jordan Reed was still there, Ben Solak was still, all the big name guys that had left, they were still there. And on the mock draft machine that they had, they were really the first ones to perfect that thing. And you could save your mock drafts in your account. And so brother, so we split the premium membership. It was like for $30 yearly. So we split it. We split the 15 apiece, and you can save unlimited mock drafts. You can do trades. I remember when we finally like, you know what, let's just bite the bullet. We'll get it. We'll split it or whatever. And when you do the trades, you get the phone call audio when you're on the clock. Oh, that was, dude, elite nostalgia. But you can save I'd go in there and Brent had saved, like, I'd come back from class and Brent would have saved like 8 different mocks with Orlando going somewhere else, right? But that was a long draft process. I'll speak for both of us. I mean, we were dying to get to the draft. It's gone really quick. I thought it would start dragging right about now, knowing that, oh man, we're gonna get to go, we're traveling out there, blah blah blah. Like, dude, we're already on mock 4. It feels like we haven't even. I don't even feel like we should be doing mock 1 yet. That's how fast it's gone. And this is the least busy we've both been with class too, which maybe that helps. We have more time to like do whatever we want. It goes by a lot faster. I don't know. But yeah, man, it's been a great process though. I've definitely feel like I've watched the most tape this cycle. I know a lot of names. Probably the same amount of names I knew the last couple years, but I know a lot more about more names than I have in the past. That said, we're doing a second round mock today. We talked about doing what we would do mock this week, but they wanted to do one of those next week. But maybe we do the second round mock coming off of last week's mock, since we liked it a lot. So we'll do a second round mock this week. I'm gonna have odds still, Brett will have evens. And then we want to touch, we'll do a quick recap of mock 3.0 that we did, which is a regular, again, predictive, full round one mock with trades. I run through the first half, run through the second half. Bears at 1 took Caleb Williams, quarterback out of South Carolina, Southern California. Drake May, quarterback in North Carolina, went 2 to the Commanders. Jaden Daniels went 3 to the New York Giants, who traded up with the Pats in a trade that sent pick 3 to the Giants in exchange for 6, 47, 70, a 2025 2, and a 2025 4 going to New England. The Cardinals stuck and picked Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4. The Chargers traded down with the Vikings to go to 11 and to get 11, 23, and a 2025 third in exchange for 5, where the Vikings took J.J. McCarthy. Malik Nabers was selected by the Patriots at 6 in their trade down with the Giants. Joe Alt goes at 7 to the Titans. The Chargers then traded back up to 11 with the Falcons in exchange for 11-110, which is a 4th and a 2025 3rd next year. Obviously next year. And then the Chargers would take Roma Dunze. Took Dallas Turner, edge out of Alabama at 11. Denver Broncos at 12 took Terrence Arnold, corner out of Alabama. Another former Nick Saban player going there back to back. The Raiders at 13 took Quinyon Mitchell, corner run kind of starts here. Talese Fuanga, tackle out of Oregon State, goes to New Orleans at 14. At 15, the Colts take Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, the do-it-all defensive back. And at 16, the Seattle Seahawks took Jackson Powers Johnson, the top Iowa prospect. Largely as likely a center prospect, going at 16 to them to start for their. I'm not an interior offensive line, and I'll let Brett take the second half of the first round here.
Yeah, so kicking it off at 17, Jacksonville Jaguars took Kool-Aid McKinstry, a corner from Alabama, the fourth or third Alabama player so far. At 18, the Bengals took Jerdon Newton, a defensive tackle from Illinois. At 19, the Los Angeles Rams took Olu Fashanu from Penn State, a left tackle. 20, the Pittsburgh Steelers took Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver from LSU. 21, Byron Murphy out of Texas, going to the Dolphins, defensive tackle. At 22, cornerback Nate Wiggins out of Clemson went to the Eagles. 23, the Chargers with their second pick took Graham Barton, interior offensive lineman primarily from Duke, but he can play all five positions. At 24, another Texas guy, wide receiver Adonai Mitchell, going to Dallas and staying in Texas. 25, offensive tackle Amarius Mims out of Georgia goes to the Green Bay Packers. At 26, Jared Verse, a pass rusher from Florida State, goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. At 27, pass rusher Leiatu Latu out of UCLA goes to the Arizona Cardinals. 28, wide receiver Troy Franklin goes to the Buffalo Bills, who just traded away Stephon Diggs. 29, pass rusher Chop Robinson out of Penn State goes to the Detroit Lions. 30, offensive tackle J.C. Latham out of Alabama goes to the Ravens. 31, O-lineman, can be Iowa, can be a tackle, Jordan Morgan goes to the San Francisco 49ers. And to round it out, wide receiver Ladd McConkey out of Georgia goes to the Kansas City Chiefs at 32. We're going to keep the order today, odds and evens, like you said, but we're going to kick it off here in the second round with pick 33, where the Panthers have their own second rounder and it's their first pick of the draft.
Yeah, Carolina Panthers up here at 33 with pick, a team that we're not going to really, I guess we picked for them in mock one. We had them moving up to take, I believe, Ladd McConkey, actually. Yep. Yeah, they moved to 29, took Ladd McConkey. Again, it's really going to depend on who wide receiver six is to get moved up for. I got the Panthers here at 33. And the biggest thing to me is I got to look at, you know, they really didn't get a lot better at receiver this offseason. And I think they're going to put a lot of faith in Ike Okwuonu to get better in year three. He had a better year two, certainly better than he had as a rookie. I do want to pull up their depth chart and see, make sure I'm correct in that they really didn't sign anybody notable at receiver. Because that's probably where I'm going to lean here. Unless I really want to go with a defender, which I could, or I could go with an offensive lineman. I do just want to check real quick on this. I guess, yeah, they traded for Deontay Mingo. They could take a receiver. They signed Damian Lewis, Robert Hunt. They paid a bag. So they paid a lot of players. I guess it's true. Let me sort. I don't love any of the receivers here, although I do love Keon Coleman to them. I just wonder if it's a smidge early. Look at the offensive line. I don't want to tackle for them here. Zach Frazier is really intriguing because I don't think – what's the Austin Corbett contract? How committed to him are they? That's I don't know a lot about the – we're not going to take this right for all the picks. I do want to give the Panthers a little bit of a run because we really don't get to talk about them a lot.
Yeah.
That is part of the reason why I want to spend some time on them. They can do a lot of things. I think value-wise, Austin Corbett – yeah, they're not taking a center here. They're probably not drafting a guard because they just paid two. And I might have to go with a defender here. And I think we got him in round one. I think I'm going to go with Darius Robinson. I just pick Clowney, though. And they're so similar. Gosh. This team needs so much, but it's so hard to pick for them sometimes. You know, I'm gonna go. I could get real spicy and take Jonathan Brooks here, but I'm not going to. No, let's go ahead and give him a corner. Make sure that I have a slot corner before I make this pick. I think I got Jordan Fuller they signed Troy Hill too. No, they don't need a slot corner. We're gonna give him an outside corner. Needed some depth. A guy who can kind of play all over the place with Kamari Lassiter at 33. I like his versatility. I like Rakestraw better than him, but I like Kamari's versatility on the inside and on the outside better than I like Rakestraw's. And I think they need a guy who can kind of play inside and outside. Again, J.C. Horn has been awesome when he's been healthy. I just – you can't get him to stay healthy the whole year, so I think they got to go get a corner here. If the offensive – the weapon board falls the way it does – I don't love any of the receivers here at 33, and I'm probably not taking a tackle. It's like tackle is kind of the one position that I feel like they're set. They're probably not taking a center. I think they're paying Corbett too much money to take Zach Frazier here at 33 of the premium picks. I'm going to go with Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia here.
I like it. Yeah, definitely. You know, a position I need for most teams, and I think the Panthers are no different. I mean, you were the worst team in the league last year for a reason, and you have a bunch of needs you can fill, and I don't think and I really don't think you can go wrong with most positions. 34 here, we have New England Patriots. We had them taking Malik Nabers at 6 in the trade back last week. So with Nabers already in this draft class for them, do they opt to go quarterback with Penix and Nix still on the board? Do they want to take Guyton and try to put him at you know, left tackle where they have a need? I just don't know what avenue they want to go down. I'm thinking they could take a flyer on one of the two quarterbacks, honestly.
Stay on 47, so they can get a pick. They can get a tackle there, probably. I like the quarterback here, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, if it doesn't pan out, it's a second-round quarterback. So you can easily, you know, fire again and next year or the year after or sign someone and, you know, cut your losses and it's not that big of a deal. So I'm going to give him Michael Penix. I think he is better across the board than Bo Nix. And he's just a really exciting player. And I think if it does pan out for him at the next level, it'd be really fun to watch. And I think, you know, obviously the Patriots have a ton of needs, but I get this pick and then they have a bunch of picks after this. So it's not like, you know, taking a quarterback in this scenario is malpractice as – I just think it's a better process for them if they don't go quarterback with their first pick and trade back to acquire more like we had them doing last week. So taking Penix here with Nabers already in hand is a great start to a team and an offense that needs a lot of help.
I know. I love that pick. I think, again, I don't want to say it's a luxury pick because they can't take any luxury picks, but you do kind of have the luxury of getting an extra second round pick. You've got extra capital next year. I like getting the quarterback here in Penix. And if he looks great, hell, maybe you can give him a run next year as a starter. So, you know, we don't like the quarterback class next year. We're going to build up the roster. Let's get Penix a shot. Do I think this is realistic of what happens on draft day? Maybe. I don't know how much I'm buying the Penix and Bo Nix first round hype. I think Penix has a chance to go. I think the Rams could take a shot on him at 19. I could also see a team jumping up. Like, I could see New England at 34 jumping up to 32 or 30 or 40 or 31 with any of those back three teams to try and get up and get that fifth year option on them. So, I like that pick a lot for New England, and it gives them flexibility going into next year and flexibility kind of throughout to keep building through, again, premium positions on that team, which ultimately what they need to do. Cardinals here at 35. We went with Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4. Wide receiver out of Ohio State, and edge rusher Leatu Latu out of UCLA, at 27. Kind of look at the roster. They can kind of go anywhere defensively. I don't love any of the signings that they made outside of maybe Sean Murphy Bunting as a solid corner option for you, but it's really – I mean, if he's your CB1, you could use a corner. Kind of like Darius Robinson for them. They need an edge rusher, man. They need an edge rusher so bad. And I think he's probably the best one available. And I think he's probably going to be your best value of where you can play him. And Gannon's defense, they've got Kyrus Tonga and Justin Jones, who are really defensive tackles. And I think the outside linebacker roles, these are they're going to play in that defense. I for Gannon's defense, he's going to want to run again. Same thing that they had in Philly. A lot of outside linebackers, bigger defensive line. So let's go with. So Darius Robinson gives them a lot of flexibility on the inside. I think it's a great route for them to go. So I'm a big fan of, and I love Darius. We both love Darius Robinson. So I think that's a great fit for the Cardinals addressing two of their bigger needs early on in the draft. So
for sure, yeah.
Probably an oversight to not take Frazier. We'll say oversight to not take Frazier. I'll be honest, that's on me. But I like Corn. Listen, they can get a Cedric Van Pran later on, or another guy that they should spend on the premium position at edge. Yeah. Part of it
for sure, yeah. Darius is 27 on my board and 33 on yours, so a really good pick for them here. Commanders at 36 took Drake May with their second overall pick, and to protect Drake May, I'm going to take Kingsley Suamataya, the left tackle out of BYU, a guy that might need some time, but I think at the end of the day, he'll just be a good pick for them. I think their front office is doing things the right way. They signed a ton of guys this offseason, prioritized veteran leadership, prioritized getting better on special teams. And I think drafting premier positions early is also going to be a focus for them. So QB and left tackle as their first two picks would be pretty smart with the new culture and regime there.
It gives them time. They're not winning right now. Kingsley needs some time. I think he's more of a, I don't want to say developmental player. He just has a lot to kind of continue to grow, given the only played two seasons in college. Freak out, though. I'm a big fan of Kingsley's. He's pretty high on my board, higher than consensus. I believe he is at 40 on my board, 41 on your board. So we're both high on him. We both like him a lot. Love that fit for the Commanders. Chargers here at 37. I don't think they're gonna trade back here. I think they're gonna sit and pick. And it's gonna be Mikey Sanders still. They got their offensive lineman at 23. They got a receiver at 8. I think they need a corner. I love Rakestraw. I believe Rakestraw is at 32. Yeah, 32 on my big board, and I've got Mikey at 29. It's just what Mikey brings to the table as a leader, as a difference maker in the slot. They're going to need to get a slot player. I think they have to just take the best corner on the board here. And it's a known commodity. He's going to slide into the exact same defense he played in college. I think that's a big part of it for Mikey and getting into the same scheme, same role. And having a slot player, I mean, we've talked about it on this podcast a lot. They're a starting player for you. Like, that's a part of the starting 11 on defense. You're a nickel 75%+ of the time against most teams. It's got to be a good player. So I love Mikey, one of my favorite players in the class, one of my favorite DBs, goes to the Chargers and gets to play with Jim Harbaugh for another at least probably 4 years. So big fan of this pick. I would love, listen, being we're in Detroit, if this is the first three picks, brother, I'm living large at this point. So I'm buying the Roma Dujay jersey. I'm buying it. I mean, I'm telling you that right now. And the Sanders Soul jersey might be coming after, to be honest with you. So but no, I love Mikey. Yeah, no. I think this is a great fit. Makes a lot of sense just from a scheme fit. Obviously, it's the same defense you played in college, and then getting a known commodity. Michigan connection with Ortiz too. He loves to pick the Michigan guys. Just so he gets a power five player. So easy one for me here at 37.
I like it. Yeah. I mean, makes a lot of sense. I like the process of that pick. And then, yeah, like you said, the first three picks have been great for the Chargers. Next up at 38, we have the Tennessee Titans. We had them taking Joe Alt with their own first round pick. That could go a few different directions here. I don't know what they're really looking at. I know they need more O-line. We honestly could take another O-lineman, but I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense here. I looked at Tyler Newbin, the safety from Minnesota. I don't know how much they like Elijah Molden, but I know they're wanting to load up their secondary.
I like
secondary.
Elijah Molden. I like him. I think he's a nice player.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's worth replacing him now.
Right.
I just not sure what they're looking for, like I said. So maybe let's see what we got on the board. Available on the draft board. Dare they reach for Peyton Wilson?
No, they just paid Kenneth Murray a contract that he did not deserve, but they paid him like $9 million a year. Paid him.
But do they like their other guy that much? Here.
I just don't think they're drafting. I think it'd be horrible process to draft a linebacker and then while in the same offseason is paying one almost $10 million a year. To me, like I guess my thought process here is like they could go receiver because this is not the regime that drafted Treylon Burks. I guess it is not the regime. Actually, it is the regime that drafted Treylon Burks. I stand corrected. But they did pick Calvin. I mean, they could just take Zach Frazier and build up the O-line. They could also take an edge rusher here, and I wouldn't hate it. Like a Braylon Trice type. I don't know if it's early. It's probably maybe a little early for him. Could also just go with the best corner on the board. Roger McCreary is a slot player. They just traded for Snead. I guess they signed Awuzie. Yeah, I think an edge rusher makes a lot of sense here. Arden Key is one of their edge rushers. Has been terrible. That's disrespectful. Not been great. Sorry. Yeah, I like a big end here. Maybe an outside linebacker build. Kind of either one. Like I'm thinking. I mean, they could go with like a Fisk here. They could go with a Chris. I think, well, from what I've been told, Fisk and Rook are both going to go ahead of Jenkins on draft night. That's at least what I've heard. They could go with, I think Fisk makes a lot of sense. I mean, they signed Sebastian Joseph Day. He's trash. Disrespectful. He's trash. I'm going to be honest. Garbage. They have Jeff Simmons, obviously, but I think Fisk could play that big end role for him at kind of another defensive tackle spot. I don't know though. It's your pick. I'm just again throwing names out there because this is a hard team to mock for. I think when you get the tackle, it's hard to go like, yeah, what could they do? Because they need a lot of things, right? So, and they spent a bunch of money this offseason. They spent a lot of money.
Yeah, they did. I think at the end of the day, they probably are fine on offense. I don't know if they want to go O-line again here. So I'll go Fisk because he'll be more versatile. I like that fit there just with him being able to learn from those guys, mostly vets, you know, second contract guys that are on that D-line, really front seven as a whole that he can learn from.
Well, man, I love that. Honestly, I think it's a great fit. Fisk is a player that I'm a huge fan of. I think I absolutely nailed the process. So definitely like that one done for them there. And pairing it with Jeff Simmons is going to be a two-headed monster on the inside, which is what they want to keep doing. So big fan of that move there. Carolina Panthers up here at 39. Just had him take Kamari Lassiter. And I really wanted to give him an edge rusher. No, I'm going to go with a receiver. Anything can take a receiver. It's too early for a tight end. I refuse to take Jatavion Sanders this early. I think they can take a receiver now. Question becomes, which receiver fits that offense the best and fits Bryce Young the best? When you look at the receivers they currently have on the roster, like I said, it's Thielen, it is Deontay Johnson, and it is – I'm going to draw a blank on the third receiver, aren't I? We just looked at him. Jonathan Mingo. Do they pick a receiver here? They're not taking an offensive lineman. They handed out some bags this offseason. They just paid Derrick Brown, signed Clowney, took a corner. Yeah, let's go with a weapon. Thielen's old. Thielen is old. Roman Wilson, I'm between Roman and I'm Keelan Coleman and Roman Wilson. What are your thoughts on that? Those two. They're polar opposite players. Polar right. opposite players, but I think both could fit a role here.
I think they're probably leaning towards Roman Wilson. There's a little better process this offseason. I think him being able to learn from Thielen would be huge. I think they're similar. And then being able to move on from Thielen next year will just having the year overlap between Roman and Thielen will be really beneficial.
I think the more we think about it too, when you think about the way that Canales is going to run that offense, they've kind of got a couple of bigger body receivers in Deontay, and now that Mingo's big. They also have Terrace Marshall on the roster for another year. I do like the fit of Roman Wilson getting to play that kind of slot receiver role, working the short yardage game for Bryce Young. It's something that Canales has been open about them utilizing with Bryce. So, yeah, I like the Roman Wilson fit here the most.
Yeah, next pick we have at 40, The Commanders acquired this pick from the Chicago Bears when they dealt edge rusher Montez Sweat to them at the trade deadline. What the Commanders need a few things, but a primary need is safety. So I'm going to give him Tyler Newbin, the top safety in the draft out of Minnesota. This may be a little early for some people, but I think this is a great spot and maybe his ceiling at this pick. I just think it's a great fit, and he's going to come in right away and probably have a pretty big role in that defense. That's going to be young across the board outside of a couple guys.
Tyler Newbin, huh?
Yeah, I do like him.
You're higher on him than I am. I just don't love any of the safeties, but I get it. He's going to go earlier than we think. That's probably a good pull with him going to the Commanders here. I do have the Packers up at 41 with the pick they acquired in the Aaron Rodgers trade. This is one. We went with Cooper DeJean, or no, we did not. It's an Iowa player. I just thought we went with an Iowa player to Green Bay because naturally they'd pick an Iowa player. We haven't taken Amarius Mims in the first round. Am I an insane person for wanting to take another offensive lineman here and have him take Zach Frazier falling down the board?
No.
They don't need a receiver. Josh Myers has been not great, to say the least. They've moved Elkin Jenkins around. Rasheed Walker's moved everywhere. Amarius Mims has played. I'm just not taking another tackle here. I'm not, like, I don't know if I'm going to take Guyton and move him, because then you've got two volatile players at tackle, and I can't. I'm going to go with Zach Frazier. They need another offensive lineman. They've double dipped at positions before in the past. They're not afraid to. Let's go Frazier, stop the fall. Top 30 player for me at 28. So yeah, let's stop the fall of Frazier here and go ahead and get him at 41 to the Packers, and really beefing up an offensive lineman for Jordan Love. And still got to figure out left tackle, but again, that they couldn't get it in round one, so you figure it out maybe for agents to get a vet after the draft.
Yeah, I like that. I think it makes a lot of sense for them, a team that just really needs to beef up the line in front of Jordan Love. You know, was really solid a few years ago with Rodgers and having like Corey Linsley, David Bakhtiari, guys that were playing really well, but those guys are old and gone, and I think they need to.
Might be medically retiring, because Corey Linsley is, right. Bakhtiari might be retiring because of his knees.
Yeah. I think they just have to get younger and better on that O-line, and I think it starts this year with this draft, and I think addressing it with the first two picks isn't out of the realm of possibility, and I think it's a smart avenue for them to go down when you look at, you know, starting to rebuild this line. But next up, 42, Texans with the pick they acquired from Minnesota in exchange for their first to go another way and a couple other picks. Texans made a good bit of signings this offseason. Obviously, they traded last week for Stephon Diggs. They signed Joe Mixon. Their O-line is pretty well set. They could go a guard, but I don't know if I love a guard here. On offense, I mean, their running back, wide receiver, quarterback, those are all set. Tackles, guards, they like their center for now. Looking at the defense, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, they could use a starting corner. Because they picked up Jeff Okuda, but I think he's going to be kind of their first outside corner off the bench in the rotation. They have Desmond King, who's going to be primarily a slot, but he probably won't have a ton of reps. So I really like Rakestraw here for Houston, giving them a corner opposite Derek Stingley Jr. And it's a premium position, and honestly, they don't have any needs, but corner is one of them. So I really like this pick here for them.
I was sitting there looking, just wanted to scream at us, Rakestraw, when you talk about corner. I love Rakestraw. This is good, again, a value pick here for the Texans, who seemingly they're gonna nail the draft every year with this new regime. Obviously, the Kendrick Green pick doesn't look phenomenal, but outside of that, you know, Stingley really had a great, great, great year in year two. Obviously, CJ and Will have been great. Tank Dell. Yeah, they're going to nail this pick. I think Rakestraw 42 is great value. Falcons here at 43. In last mock, we had them trading down with the Chargers from 8 to 11, and they selected Dallas Turner from Alabama. Another team that could take a corner here. In fact, I'm probably going to. This might surprise some folks. Max Melton is going to come off the board right here. This guy is going to go a lot higher than people think. Max is a stud. Tested really well. Atlanta likes the guys who test well. The popular pick is TJ Tampa here, or so maybe like a Kyrie Jackson. I really think Max Melton's a guy who's going to – listen, he has good tape against Marv. I talked about him as a guy that we both love. And he's going to go early than people think, honestly. I mean, it's what I would do, but it's not always what I would do mock. Like, obviously, that's next week. But this is something that I think the NFL's going to – someone who's, they're going to value a lot higher just given the traits and the tools he possesses. So I'm going to go Melton here at 43. And, again, reaching down the board a little bit from the consensus, but I think, again, really good selection here for the Falcons. And it fits a need. That's the biggest thing. It fits a need for them.
No doubt. Yeah, he's 57 on your board, 55 on my board. And I like them taking him at 43. It's a solid pick. Now the Raiders at 44. We had them going with Quinyon Mitchell in the first. Yes, Quinyon Mitchell. And they still need help on that O-line. And this is a pretty easy pick for me. It's going to be Tyler Guyton, the tackle out of Oklahoma. Guyton being here is probably his floor. I think he'll probably be gone by 40. But him being here at 44, it's too easy of a pick. Too good of a player to pass up.
Right. I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking when we were sitting here kind of looking at the board. Made a lot of sense. Again, Thayer Munford. Brother, I don't know if that's going to work out for him next year at right tackle. So they might need to get another right tackle in there. Again, they've got a lot of time. Team doesn't need to press to win now. They're rebuilding. That's a solid pick for them at 44. I'm up with the Saints at 45. Pick acquired from Denver in the Sean Payton trade. So weird to say they traded for a coach. But real quick recap, we have taken Talis Fuanga, the right tackle out of Oregon State in round one for the Saints. Man, Saints are god awful, and they're locked into Derek Carr. Now, do I give him Derek Carr light? I don't know. Derek Carr Jr.? I don't know. Even though Bo Nix is older than Derek Carr. Fun fact. Keeping that meme alive that he's older than everybody. He's 85. We were at the baseball game. This old guy walks by, probably in his 70s. Breakfast. It's Bo Nix's brother. And I started dying. I was causing a scene. I was laughing so hard. Man, the Saints are an interesting team. They took a tackle in round one. They could take another tackle, to be honest with you. I don't love taking a receiver for them. I actually like their receiver room a fair amount. And we talked about it in round one. I don't love it. I kind of want to – I'm not saying defensive lineman, though. Cedric Wilson. Maybe I don't like the receiver room as much. Why do I think they signed someone that wasn't Cedric Wilson? Bro, he's – yeah, maybe we'll go with a receiver here. I'm going to go with Keon Coleman. That way Derek Carr can just throw like the – F it, Keon Coleman down there somewhere ball because he loves to throw those. Yeah, Keon Coleman at 45 right. To New Orleans. I thought they signed – it wasn't like Tyler Boyd, but I thought they signed someone a little more notable than Cedric Wilson. I'm clearly mistaken it was Cedric Wilson. Don't love it, to be honest. So Keon Coleman here at 45. I thought the receiver name was overstated, but again, I was clearly wrong. And I'll take that one rightfully. Now Derek Carr's got a screw it. The ex receiver is down there somewhere. And Keon's a good player, right. So that's one of his strong suits.
I like it. I think that pick makes a lot of sense there for New Orleans. And Indy is up here at 46. They are going to trade Anthony Richardson so that Joe Flacco can be the full-time starter for the upcoming season.
Elite quarterback.
Because Anthony Richardson can't stay healthy. Joe Flacco, Super Bowl MVP. It's no-brainer as to what the QB depth chart should look like this year. We'll see if the Colts actually go through with it. But I don't know what direction they want to go here. They took DeJean in the first. They could use an edge rusher. They really don't have a ton of needs. They just need guys to develop. I just think they missed out on Ladarius Sneed. They were really wanting him, and they couldn't come to terms with what he wanted contract wise. I'm looking at a guy that they would want to take. Do they like go for like a Marshawn Nyland? Good athlete? Or do they just like go with like a...
Yeah, Ballard ain't taking the small school guy. Ballard is a power... He's like DeCosta. He's a power five guy.
Right.
He ain't taking no small school. He rolled that dice with Alec Pierce from Cincinnati, and he was regretting it because Pierce has not been that great considering where they took him. So I think he's going big school guy. That's a good pull. Adisa Isaac fits that mold of a guy who's a solid athlete, big school at the edge position. I don't love Adisa Isaac personally. I think he's don't love his game all that much. I don't love either of the Penn State edge rushers, but
we just roll with Chris Braswell.
Did he test? I don't remember. Did he do testing?
Forget it. Look.
Another guy I kind of hate like an offensive lineman for, but there's just no one here to take. The offensive line run kind of happened, and unless you want to reach down the board for a Van Pran or a Blake Fisher, Christian Haynes, like, and I wouldn't do it. But I mean, I don't know if the Colts would either. Receiver wouldn't shock me here.
Yeah, I just think I feel like they've been taking one like in the second round every year.
They literally have, yeah. They've taken in since 2020. They took one in 2020, 2022, and 2023. They took a second round receiver. They could do it again though. I mean, Alec Pierce really hadn't panned out for him. But maybe what about a tight end? Anyone want to trade up for Bo Nix? Anyone want to trade up for Bo Nix? Are the Rams calling at 52? Because you control the Rams. Are they calling?
No, I think they can wait.
Is Denver calling? I think Denver might be calling, brother.
With what picks?
The future picks? I mean, they have nothing. But for a team that could – Ballard loves to pick, though. Dude, he ain't trading out. Ballard loves to pick. He loves to make draft picks. He's not trading out. Never mind. I'm making you make a hard pick here. Ooh, there's one guy at the top of the board that's screaming Colts because they have nobody at this position. The top of the board. On the PFF board. He's right there at the top.
Yeah.
Oh, their linebackers are terrible.
They like Zaire Franklin now.
I mean,
cool. He played well for him.
Yes. But you could play Peyton Wilson on the field with him and EJ Speed. Because Ebukam, like, they could, I don't know.
You could. Oh, I don't know.
It's your call, dude. It's a tough one to pick for, I'll be honest. Also, just give him a receiver. He'd love Jalen Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, but I don't.
So. Ballard would love him. Ballard's, listen, here's the thing with Ballard. He's going to think about Anthony Richardson taking a 9-step drop and just letting one rip downfield to Xavier Worthy. A literal 80-yard ball. Not that it's a good pick. That is a Chris Ballard pick, though. You can't tell me I'm wrong. Question is, can you bring yourself to take Worthy at 46?
I cannot.
Tez Walker's also a freak. If you want to go with him, pause.
I don't know. Part of me just wants to stick with Braswell. Premium position.
Yeah, go with it.
They haven't gotten edge since Quiddy Pay.
Who's been mediocre at best.
Right. Yeah, I'm gonna stick with Braswell. Go with it.
Yeah, for sure. I don't hate that. You love Braswell, so I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm gonna roll with him there at 46.
Makes my next one a little easier. I'm just gonna go TJ Tampa here. Good player, good corner. They need a DB. You know what I mean? Like they need everything. Take a good player. Take you guys probably a little value. I don't know if they take a linebacker here. Yeah, let's go with Tampa.
All right.
I hate to do that to you because you're back on the clock, but
yeah,
I want to make that one quick.
48. Now the Jags. Now the Jags do have a good bit of needs. Collapse last year. I thought Seattle's collapse was bad. Jacksonville had them beat. It was rough back half of the year last year, past final six games or so. And I think they were the one seed after like 11 weeks, and then they don't make the playoffs. So also, you know, it doesn't help that their division played pretty well. The Colts and the Texans got hot, and they missed out. But they added a few guys this offseason. Added Gabe Davis. I don't think they would go receiver here. They could. I mean, their wide receiver three is Zay Jones. But they signed Gabe Davis and Duvernay. So I don't know if they'll really want to draft a guy early also. I think they might wait till the fourth or something for that. But signed Mitch Morse to play center for him. Their O-line is pretty well set.
I mean, in the mind of Trent Baalke is not going to fade apart. Dude is
no,
insane.
Clinically. They like their inside linebackers.
They like they do. Their they love D-line. They just paid Oluokun. They just extended him.
Yeah. They like their D-line. They like their corners.
Ed Rusher makes a lot of sense here. Take Nealand. If you want to get Nealand off the board, you could. I know they tagged Josh Allen, but like, who else is rushing the passer for him? Trevon Walker's been, woof. Good run defender, obviously.
Yeah.
But they could use a pass rusher. Reach for Austin Booker, who's just going to be a pass rush guy early in his career. Braylon Trice is a pressures machine. A couple names there.
Yeah.
They won't take a tight end. I mean, they could also take a receiver. They really could.
They could.
Zay Jones probably not on that team next year, so.
Yeah, I mean, they could. I don't know what those guys' contracts look like, but I know, I mean, obviously Gabe Davis is going to be a premier piece of that offense. You know what? I think I'll go with Parasol here.
I like Ricky. Pretty Ricky coming off the board. I like Ricky, though. He's a good player. I like that fit a lot.
Yeah. I'm going to go Pearsall here. Get him to Jacksonville in a pass-happy offense. He offers something different, more so, you know, Gabe will be primarily that over-the-top guy, deep crossers, stuff like that. I don't foresee him and Ricky, you know, playing the same kind of role in that offense. So I think that'll work out well for him. And then also Christian Kirk in there, being in the slot a good bit, probably. I think that can work out there. Zay Jones, and that could be fine moving from a wide receiver three to wide receiver four. I assume Ricky is going to be better than Zay, but we'll see how it goes. I think either way, you can make it work.
No, listen, it's a good pick. I'll tell you why. Zane Jones has void years after next year. He's not going to be on the team next year. They're not going to re-sign him. It's all void after 2025. So it's a good pick. They could take a receiver. They probably will. So I love the fit with Ricky. Good Jatavion Sanders for the Bengals here at 49. Again, I had some time to think about it. There's been a lot of love for Ben Sinnott, and I love him. He's an awesome player. He's one of my guys in this class. I've been on Ben for a long time. I think we've moved the needle a little bit too far against JT Sanders because, again, you're betting on the profile on JT was always, hey, you're betting on the upside and the athletic profile that he brings to the table. I know he didn't test, like, phenomenally, but, again, still, when you watch it on tape, he's a really good mover on tape and as a football player in pads on the field. And I think you're, again, betting on the upside there. And I think in that offense, he can excel. Thought about a receiver here. I think – they can probably make it work with T, and they can probably just wait to take one next year. I just don't want to take any of the receivers that are here right now and really make that my succession plan for T. Higgins. I'd rather get one next year, per se. So going to go with JT Sanders here. Again, a guy who I don't have in my top 60, but the NFL is going to take early because they're going to value what he can bring to the table as an athlete at the tight end position. It's rare, so been in that offense pretty well. doesn't block super, super well. But again, they have guys on the roster that do that. And I think he comes in as a pass catcher, can play some big slot for you, kind of move him around. So like the fit in that Bengals offense.
Yeah, I like it. I definitely think, you know, tight ends becoming more and more of a prominent position through the passing game. And at the end of the day, they have weapons and be able to get the ball out of the weapons. You need guys that are taking attention away from Jamar Chase and, you know, T. Higgins and whoever else they're throwing out there. I know Tyler Boyd's still a free agent. And if they bring him back, then that's just another guy. But I think Jatavion Sanders there in the middle there for the passing game, I think, would be beneficial for those guys. 50 here have the Eagles. Interesting scenario here. A team that doesn't seem like they have a lot of holes. We had them taking Nate Wiggins in the first. I'm looking at Rook Arororo for the Eagles because they have, obviously, Fletcher Cox retired. They traded away Hassan Reddick to the Jets and then signed Bryce Huff, who was a free agent previously on the Jets. They have a young D-line, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, both guys that played at Georgia the past couple years. Milton Williams is their other guy. Kind of like a five tech sometimes he's a three. Kind of move him around. I know they like him to an extent, but I think they need more depth there, and they really don't have anyone outside that first line, and I think Rook's a great guy to learn under that D-line. Even the pass rushers, too, in Sweat and Huff. Rook's a guy that's really versatile, can come in day one and take something from all those guys because he has a part of each of their games. Because, you know, they want to load up the trenches, and with the way those guys are, the way they like to rotate in, I think that'll be a really valuable pick for them. And I think he'll see a lot more field time than he would on most other teams.
I love it, man. Like, and they rotate their D-line a lot. I know they're deep there, but they rotate those guys a ton. And Rook's one of my favorite players in the class. I don't know if he was on our – talk about all of my guys. I don't know if we can talk – I don't – it's late, guys. It's been a long week. We did not talk about Rook on our My Guys list, I don't believe. But a guy that I've loved for a long time in this class, probably going to move up to a top 60 player for me here pretty soon. I just, again, got to kind of tinker with the big board. I made a couple changes already. But that said, like I said, love Rook, love the fit there. And, hey, he goes to – there's a Philly. Talk about a NASCAR package, dude. Talk about a NASCAR package they can run. Get Jordan Davis off the field late and on later downs. And get Rook in there, brother. Rook Arororo, Jalen Carter on the inside. That's terrifying for deep for offensive linemen everywhere. So I love that pick. Got the Steelers here at 51. And just to make Brett happy, I'm having to take a punter at 51.
Oh, yeah.
Going to go with Harrison Meavis. Not the best punter in the class, to be very clear. No, we had him taking – well, I don't be mistaken on this. We had him taking – BTJ at 20 in the last mock. And they could use a whole bunch of stuff. There's not an offensive lineman I'm taking here. They already got their receiver. Board falls poorly for them because I would have rather them taken an offensive lineman in the first round. Now that we're looking back, I would have rather them taken Barton now that I look back at it. But again, so is the beast of the NFL draft. Sometimes the board didn't fall you the way you want it to. So Bo Nix, Pittsburgh Steeler. No, you know a guy that I think really is going to fit the identity of what they have, and I just they can't take him is Javon Bullard. Tell me he's not like a Steeler though.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take an edge rusher. Man. I guess they could use a corner, and they could put Bullard in the slot, right? Because who's their other safety?
Oh,
I had no idea. I mean, obviously, they have Minka, obviously, but.
They signed Deshaun Elliott.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, good call. Darius Rush. Dante Jackson. Love their interior of Keanu Benton and Cam Hayward. Signed Pat Queen. Gosh, I hate picking for this team. Now I remember. This is awful. Genuinely. Petrovic's like the best player available, but they're not going to pay. They're not going to have paid Pat Queen and draft a linebacker here.
Right.
He's good, Jonah Ellis. White edge rusher. I'm serious. Like, fits the mold. I think he,
yeah.
You know, from a, I don't know if this matches up. It doesn't, because he's a little shorter. But I like the way that he rushes everywhere. Good power profile. I think he can, again, they don't need an edge rusher, but that's just like a Steelers pick that they would just take an edge rusher. So I like that for him. Let's go with that.
Yeah, I like it. Like you said, it kind of fits with how they go about business. And I don't know if they're going to want to bring Highsmith back. So makes sense. And even if they do hold on to him, you still have plenty of use for a third edge rusher in today's game. Right. So makes a lot of sense for them. Moving on to the Rams here at 52. Said they could get sit and pick Knicks here. I don't know if they do that. I think they could wait and take one in the first next year, that being a quarterback. I really like Peyton Wilson here. I really like him. And that defense that, for the most part, is pretty young. They lost Bobby Wagner, who was kind of a one-year guy there. They signed Cam Curl, who was pretty solid on the Commanders as a safety. And they brought in Tre'Davious White, who's not going to have a huge role. They could go corner also, just because that room's not deep. And if one guy goes down, which is likely, then there's a good chance they're in some trouble. As for the corners that are available, they really need inside linebacker, though.
They really do. And I like the corner depth later for them, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go Peyton Wilson at like NC that. State.
Good player. And they take risks on the injury guys. They're known to do that. They just like they want good players that can get healthy. So I love the process. I like the fit. Got the Eagles at 53. I'm definitely taking a receiver. Question is, which one? I would take Jalen Polk. However, I don't know if the Eagles are going to take Jalen Polk. Who do you think the Eagles want here? I want your opinion on this.
Like from receivers?
Yeah, the receivers they currently have. Like they're gonna. I think they're drafting one right here. Of the receivers available, who do you think they like? It's not Devontae Parker.
Xavier Worthy. Solution.
I don't think they would. I think he's such a size outlier. They wouldn't take him. Too small. They drafted Smitty, but Smitty. Yes.
Smitty has the speed, but he like Xavier Worthy is more short area, I think. Whereas Smitty is a little more vertical.
He's a wide receiver one. Delantis was a wide receiver one.
Yeah.
In offenses. He's that good. Like, you can bet on him being an outlier because he's a special player. You can't bet on. I just think he's too small for them. I don't know how it would take him.
Yeah. He might be. He is pretty small.
I want to take Junior Colson for him. This is not what I would do, Mock. This is what's going to... Oh, never mind. They paid Devin White. Nah, I'm lying. Thanks, Burton. How did Burton test? Burton test well? They want a guy who can play. I don't know if they're going to take Leggett, because Leggett can't play right now. Leggett needs to learn to be a receiver, not just be a freak athlete. I mean, I hate to say that. Like, I'm just not a huge fan of his, and he's got to learn how to play receiver, not play I'm faster than you and bigger than you. Let's go Burton. Burton's a nuanced player. I think they're going to like him. They go back to the Bama well again. They pick a lot of big-name schools, so let's go Burton here.
All right. I like it. You know, a guy, like you said, from Bama, pairing up with Devontae Smith. Three SEC receivers there for the Eagles, and I think another weapon for Hurts is big time with, you know, Saquon and Hurts in the backfield, and they got something going again. Their offense is going to need to take a step forward this year, and their defense is going to need to take a few more steps forward for them to get back to where they were last or 2 years ago when they made the Super Bowl. Let's see. Up next on the board, or sorry, up next in the mock is the Cleveland Browns at pick 54. Their first pick of the draft, after they traded their first to Houston for Deshaun Watson. Let's see. Let's see what they got here. They're in a pretty good spot. They were a really good secondary. You know, their defense was a top three defense last season. They have a solid D-line. I don't know. I mean, Shelby Harris is good, but I don't think that takes him away from going D-line. Now, I know, looking at their offense, they traded for Jerry Jeudy, which was a little confusing trade, but they didn't really give up anything, so I guess it's fine. Nick Chubb is still banged up. I don't think he'll be back for a little bit. Probably missed the first 5 weeks or so.
If you don't go running back, real quick, I just pulled the numbers real quick. Jordan Hicks, they signed him, obviously like a free agent, but the contract is like, it's 2 years for $3 million. Something like that. Like,
yeah.
It's not stopping them from taking linebackers. All I wanted to point out, because obviously I'm assuming you're on our lads. It just shows you that they signed a guy. Doesn't tell you that, like, the money, right? So, like, same thing with Devin Bush. It's a minimum contract. So I figured I'd throw it out there. They don't have money tied up there next to JOK. So if they wanted to, they could. But I like where you're going with running back. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, I just think it makes a lot of sense for them. Jerome Ford was a reliable option out of the backfield. But just with Nick Chubb now having three torn ACL surgeries, two on one on the other, it's just really tough when you've torn each ACL at least once. And coming back, even though he should be back and he's a top five running back when he's healthy, I don't know how much you can rely on him long term. I know they drafted him, 6 years ago now, and the contract is pretty good. Second contract for him. I just don't know what they want to do. They signed Nyheim Hines.
Not a solution.
No, but not a solution. I don't know if they want to go running back this early with having seeing what Jerome Ford gave them last year.
I think if they do, it should be Trey Benson. Bro, they can't draft a non-healthy back because they don't have, you know what I mean? Like, if they're taking a back, it's got to be a guy who can play from day one. And Benson, the biggest thing with Benson is like, hey, I don't know how much he gives you as a pass catcher, but as a runner, he's great. So I think that if that's the argument, like, yeah, they should take Benson if it's a running back. Now, if it's not, and you want to go to somewhere else, like, again, you could take a couple Michigan guys. You could go with Chris Jenkins Jr., Junior Colson here will make a lot of sense. We will not be taking Tylandre Sweat in round two. Fellas got some off-the-field things to deal with today, like posting bail. It's tough. Yeah, no other defensive lineman I'm taking in round two. Wouldn't take Dorless here for them. As versatile as he is, it's just you're overlooking too much good talent at that point.
Right. You know what? I'm going to go with Chris Jenkins.
I really
like Chris Jenkins, and I think he's a guy that can come in right away, learn from a great D-line, one of the best in the league, and, you know, from two D-tackles that are getting up there in age that aren't putting a whole lot out there anymore. Jenkins, you know, gives them a break and then gets himself some reps where he can prove, you know, how smooth he is, how sound and well-rounded his game is, as he's just a solid athlete. I think he's an incredible athlete. He has experience, and he has the lineage. His dad was in the pros for 10 years, so I think it makes a lot of sense there.
I commit to the bit. Can I take Xavier Worthy at 53? Please. I'm doing it. I don't care. I'm doing it. I don't care what the needs are. Doesn't matter to me. They're not passing on Xavier Worthy. We know that's true, right? Like, we can acknowledge that.
Probably.
Brother, he ran the fastest 40 time ever. Mike McDaniel is taking him. I don't know what else to say. It's happening. I'm committing to the bit. It's the second round mock. It's almost a wash at this point anyways. Xavier Worthy at 55, sorry. I'm so bought in on this bit.
Yeah, I get it. I think they probably would if he was there.
I mean, they probably wouldn't, but also, like, listen, I'm nothing if not committed to the bit right now. So that's all I'm saying.
No, I honestly think they could. You know, that you could use another receiver. I don't think they really had a reliable third option. But I will say, Xavier
Is this
Worthy.
Braxton Berrios erasure? Is this Texas Tech legend Eric Izukama erasure? My
No,
boy?
Eric will get his. Braxton, he's more of a special teams guy. I think he can kind of solidify that role and get some reps on that side of the ball. But Xavier will come in there and be the fifth fastest player in that offense. I will say that.
So it's so serious. That's so
I
like you're
know
so for real.
he ran the fastest 40, but his start got him the record, not his top
He's
end
probably
speed.
faster than Mostert at this point in career. I fourth fastest. He's
I don't
faster
know.
than Raheem Mostert, dude. He's what, 28? He's a
Mostert
running back.
has like the fastest GPS times every year, though.
Yeah, give me Worthy.
I don't know
He's
about this
younger.
past season, but
He's younger. Fourth. He's not faster than Tyreek Waddle or Achane for sure. Yeah, fourth fastest though. He'll beat Mostert in a foot race.
we'll see. We'll see. We need to see a foot race
Looks
between the two of them.
blocks or no blocks. Breath taking no blocks. You don't want them.
Right, no blocks.
In pads on the field.
Yeah, we'll put Worthy in that offense. 56 here. Next up, Dallas Cowboys took Adonai Mitchell, Worthy's teammate, in the first round. Have a few other needs, however. Don't know what they want to do because their plan was to be all in, and they have not made any moves, let alone all in moves. But no moves at all. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking, what their plan is. I just
Gary's not thinking. That's the thing.
no. There's a lack of process going on in that mind of his. I don't know what they're wanting to do, but I will say the roster still isn't bad. They still have some quality players. A few stars. There's no reason they can't contend. I will say it's going to be hard for them to make the playoffs next season. They have guys that rely on players around them, and when those players aren't going to produce, the players that rely on players aren't going to produce. So it's going to be a domino effect, and I just don't think it's going to work out the way they want it. But they need a running back pretty badly because they lost Tony Pollard, and whoever they bring in at this point is not a running back one. So I'm looking at Jonathan Brooks as their top option here. I know they went with a Longhorn in the first round, but I will say I don't think that stops them from taking another Longhorn. Some connections there, I would think, being, a few hours away from UT's campus. But I think Jonathan Brooks makes a lot of sense here.
No Trey Benson love here? Your RB1?
No, I do like
Oh,
Benson
no,
the
he's RB2.
most.
Sorry.
I do like Benson the most out of all of them, but I think Jonathan, they probably know a good bit more about. I know he doesn't have quite the production or the reps or the volume, but I will say I just think he's going to be better off for that team, and I don't think he'll miss really. He might miss a couple weeks, but he should be back pretty quick.
All right, Deuce Vaughn's RB1 anyways. Austin, Texas legend. Jonathan Brooks,
For real.
who? Bro, they played in the Hill Country. Hey, he was in Texas for 1 year. The real Austin, Texas legend is Deuce Vaughn. Those who
He
know
is.
truly do know, though.
Oh, he is a legend. 5'5". He can ball though.
He's an actual baller though. No one under like people understand he like a lot of memes about Deuce Vaughn, like ghetto Gronk or whatever. Homie's actually a ball player. Like homie is cold. I'm so serious. He's cold.
Yeah, I mean, what he would be able to do in this offense is not at all diminished by bringing in Jonathan Brooks, I don't think. Now, maybe his reps go down a little, but I think his role would be the same in terms of, short area quickness guy that can get sideline to sideline while getting vertical and making guys miss, opening things up for other players. think it'll be really helpful to bring in Brooks along with Vaughn in this offense, and then you see how that goes for the season, and then you can come right back to it next year. There's be some free agent running backs, so I'm gonna go with Brooks in this one.
That's a good spot for him. Tampa Bay up here at 57 in mock 3. We had them taking Jared Verse, edge out of Florida State. Could go a few different directions here, and I kind of want to take his Florida State teammate here. Call me crazy. I kind of like Trey Benson right now. Maybe I'm sipping the Kool-Aid, but Rashad White, Chase Edmonds, could use a back. You could use a back like him, couldn't they? Or do they go somewhere else, we think? Could use a corner, actually. They could use another corner. Yeah,
they could use a corner.
You know what I want? You know who I want to take here. The pod should know who I want to take.
Yeah.
It's taking everything about to take Cam Hart right now, but my God, it pains me. Hold on, let's just for a second. Could they wait. I've done it. I did it. We're good. Junior Colson coming off the board. Devin White walked. I don't know if I'm trusting old buddy KJ Britt come in and give you reps next to Levante David. Let's go with Junior Colson gets to learn from Levante David, uber talented kid. Let's get him next to Levante David and make another linebacker set for 10 years probably. I love Junior Colson.
Yeah, he's great. I think makes a lot of sense there for Tampa Bay to get younger in the middle of the defense. I know. At the end of the day, you know, defense is going to win you games, and with the way their offense was last year, their defense just becoming a little better, I think, will make a big difference on that team. And like I said, defense is going to win you. It's going to give you a better chance to win in this league than offense, because a great defense goes a lot further than a great offense nowadays. So I will say, I don't know Packers want to do here at 58. We've given them two linemen with their first two picks in Zach Frazier and Amarius Mims, I believe. I don't think they will go O-line again, even though, you know, they could technically. But they're not going to go O-line. They're not going to go offense at all, actually. They could, however. That is not going to work. Never mind. Not going to work.
No?
Actually, wait a second. I think a pick that would make a lot of sense for them would be Brandon Dorlus. It's a little early, but with the whole Tamondre Sweat situation, that helps Dorlus more than probably anybody else. And they could use him. That's a type of player that the Packers would draft. A guy that didn't have a whole lot of production, but has good upside, good versatility along that defense that, you know, Rashawn Gary, pretty solid. Preston Smith, pretty old. Kenny Clark, pretty old, getting up there in age, around 30, if not older. TJ Slayton is their nose tackle. Not ideal. Devontae White, you drafted in the first a couple years ago. Good player, but by no means stops you from taking another one. So I'm going to go Brandon Dorlus here.
You don't like Devontae White? It's been good for them. You don't like him?
I do. I just don't think it stops them from taking someone because...
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I didn't want to slander my king. Listen, he's not been bad.
No.
I'd say he's been great. He's been solid. I mean, probably not worth what they picked him at, but he's been solid. He's been good.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It doesn't stop. Because Dorlus can play all over.
Right.
And I think you're right. It doesn't stop him from taking a guy. And they can maybe even kick wide inside and kick. Dorlus is going to have to figure out his weight, what he wants to play at, because he played heavier and then came out of the combat a little bit lighter. I just don't think he's an edger. I think he's got to be like a big end. Like his best role is like a five, like a 4-eye, 5-tech. It's my opinion, but again, I still like the fit there a lot, and they would take him. That just makes a lot of sense for what they like, and just prospects as a whole. So I like that for them. Going here with the Texans at pick 59. Ooh, this is a fun one. Because they're a fun team to lock for because they filled so many needs in the offseason. You can kind of just take a very much a BPA approach. They go with Rakes route 42 and then sit here. Ooh. Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce. Corner in round one. It's too early for another linebacker off the board. Maybe, you think they take Edgar Cooper here? Is that early?
No, I don't think it's early.
You think we get three this early? Three linebackers off the board.
It's possible. I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, what? It's like an hour from Houston, Texas A&M. And they were looking at linebackers in free agency and didn't get any. They opted to put their money in draft picks elsewhere. So I think it makes a lot of sense.
You're going to pick. I'm going to go with Braylon Trice. They could use edge depth. And I think he fits. His build is that it's different than Will Anderson and Daniel Hunter. And it can give you some path. I'm intrigued by Austin Booker, though. I'm going to keep it a buck. I'm very intrigued by Austin Booker. Getting to learn from Hunter. Nah, they need a guy who can give you reps because Hunter's been so injury-prone. I need a guy who can give me reps, right? Give me Braylon Trice. That, again, had Danielle Hunter had a reputation of being healthier, yeah, I can go Booker, let him learn and learn the wings. I got to take a guy who can give me reps right away. So I'm going to go Trice.
All right.
As much as I like linebacker for them, they're going to build through the trenches. And I think Trice makes a lot of sense for him at 59.
Yeah, I like it. I think, like you said, good value pick there. The Buffalo Bills are up here at 30. And don't know how much they like Terrell Bernard.
They could take another receiver. Just like they might have to.
Like they might have to take two receivers. That was my other take. Either a linebacker or receiver. But my receiver option would be Malachi Corley. I don't know.
We don't see Corley at all the same. That's one of the players we differ on the most, I think, in this class is Corley.
I think Corley is probably an early third. But with the way the receiver board currently is, I don't know if they opt to go with him because they have Khalil Shakir, who have more similar roles than some other guys.
They have Curtis. They probably need an X receiver here.
Right.
Because they drafted Troy, but Troy's slim. They could play him at X. I think your options are here's the way that I see it, two options. You take Troy Franklin and put him at X and take Jalen Polk or Javon Baker, more likely Polk. Or you take Leggett or Tez and put them outside and let at X and you let Troy play Y. And then you can kind of let Samuel and Shakir play Z or slot receiver rather. But you're the one making the pick. If you, right. You're right. Corley does profile similarly as like from a skill set standpoint that you like about a guy like Curtis Samuel. They win differently after the catch, but again, an after the catch guy, which is why you like him, put the ball in his hands. But I mean, if you have to take Corley here, it's your pick. I don't want to try and sway you from the guy that you really like, really, really like.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Like, I love Javon Baker, but he profiles similarly to Shakir, probably.
I do.
Just from a stylistic standpoint. It's your pick. It's your call, dude. I'm not going to sway you.
I honestly forgot that Polk and Leggett were available.
Fair. It's a deep receiver class, dude. Lot of bodies there. Lot of bodies.
Man.
Because I feel like Leggett better, I think.
They might. I think they could probably get a linebacker next round. Whereas receiver, you probably can't.
And you're probably better off just signing a vet linebacker too. Than, you know what I mean? Like vet.
I'm gonna go Leggett. I like Leggett at this end of the second round. And I think it makes a lot of sense for what the Bills like. They, you know, Diggs and Davis, they kind of try to replicate with Troy and Leggett. Just young, talented players that I think at the end of the day might end up working out with, you know, how they run things there in Buffalo.
I like it. You like Leggett more than Polk. So I, that's a guy that you like a lot more. So
yeah.
I think it fits well in Buffalo. Try to wrap it up here at 61, four more picks left in the mock. The Detroit Lions selected Trop Robinson, edge rusher out of Penn State at 29 in round one. Round two, man, they could do, they probably need a corner. They need a corner here. Yeah, and I'm going to take Cam Hart because I can. And I think Cam's going earlier than people think. So probably earlier than he actually goes. But they need a corner who can play physically, can play outside and inside. I think Cam can do both. They also just don't make corners that big. So let's go Cam Hart here. Really? Just so I can get him on the mock. Just so I can get him on the mock, you know?
Hey, I mean, I may have taken him.
Listen, he's a guy who he profiles as a guy who is going to be better in NFL teams' eyes than the media's eyes. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
I think there's merit to having him go earlier than people think. Obviously, this is like a round and a half earlier, but again, I think there's merit to that. It's not just me trying to get a my guy. I think there is merit to him going earlier than people think. The same reason I think there's merit to other guys going. Just the NFL likes certain types, and like, they don't make corners that big, and some teams gonna prioritize that and his physicality. I don't think it'll be the Lions.
I like it. I do think it makes sense. The Lions like to get those kinds of guys, and I mean, they had a great draft class last year. So you know, you're not needing to hit on a draft class this year, and I think they can, you know, take these shots at guys that they know are going to be there when they're picking, rather than waiting and hoping they're there. Similar to what they did last year. So up here, three picks left at 62. We have the Ravens. They took J.C. Latham in the first round. They still need, they need a receiver. They need a guard. They need two guards. Probably one at this point. Receiver, corner, and guard is what I'm down to right now. In terms of, they could get a corner later. They could get a guard later. They're probably not going to want to wait on receiver. So I'm looking at receiver right now. And honestly, I'm just tired of us taking receiver. But I know they're going to. So when I look at receiver, they have Nelson Aguilar, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman.
Would the Ravens like to trade back and pick up an extra fourth round pick next year?
Probably not. There's
an AFC West team that's calling that needs a quarterback. And Sean Payton might give you a three next year.
Let's look at the value. Let's look at the...
We'll be dropping 16 picks, 14 picks. So, I don't,
so we'd have
Bowen making it out. Like someone's someone's taking him before they can. And this is the team that would love to trade down and pick up the phone.
We could do...
They'll overpay. They'll give you a third next year. It's more than you need, but they'll overpay for it. I'm pretty confident in that.
Let's see. Let's see what I can work here.
Probably even give you 136 too to get it done. We're probably more likely It's more likely 145, 147 because they have both those picks. Like almost back to back. So they can spare one.
Right. I think it was 76 and next year's third.
Yeah. That should get it done.
Yeah.
For 62.
Yeah, that'll probably do it if they're wanting a quarterback.
I don't see how they can't do this. Like, they have to, right?
Yeah.
They're overpaying. It should cost them, like, 136 and a 4 next year. But they're going to overpay and give you a 3, I think.
I mean, we can give
unless
you back.
Unless you think EDC is going to – unless you think he sticks in picks here.
I think he could. I don't know if they're going to, like, be in love with a guy. But I – I think they might really like Bullard or receiver.
It's up to you. Because we can do the deal at 63 if you want instead of now.
Yeah. Let's do that. We'll roll with that. I just think DaCosta likes this draft class a little too much, and he's not going to want to give up picks because we already have like a dozen next year far. So I'm going to go with either Bullard or a receiver. Bullard is really intriguing because of how versatile he is. The Ravens love that.
Doesn't fill a need, unfortunately.
Right. Don't know what receivers are going to like the most.
I have a sneaking feeling it'd be Tez Walker. He had a bad process. Maybe not. I think it's perfect time for Javon Baker. You'll need an X, though.
You do.
I've been saying that for what feels like 3 years.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Polk here.
Polk, I like that. Polk can do a lot for you. At 6'2", he can move a lot, he can move across for you, and then he can go. He was great in contested catch situations. He can get down the field quickly, and I think he can move around for you too. So I love that. I love the fit for you guys
with Polk. Yeah, I'll roll with that. I think that'll work out there and ease the transition to next year for the receivers.
Let's do the trade here. 76 and a 3 for 63. Broncos are taking Bo Nix. Let's preface this by saying there will be a lot more picks than this, like trades on day two. There are always a ton. Right. They're just impossible to project, and I just feel like we got to do one here for Nix. So yeah,
like it makes sense.
It's hard to project, but I feel like they got to take Bo here.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could do like I got 3. I don't know if the Broncos would do a 3.
Oh, they do a 3, brother. They absolutely would. They're gonna overpay.
No, they would, but like if they could get like a 6 even back from San Fran.
Yeah, throw them a 6 then if you want. That's fine.
Yeah. I thought it makes sense because they're going to want to keep the same amount of picks. So I'll do 211 from San Fran going back to Denver.
That works. So 211 and
63.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We will roll with that. Bo Nix.
I already take Bo Nix quarterback out of Oregon here at 63. Easy.
All right. Well, that leaves us with one pick left in this mock draft 4.0 of the 2024 NFL draft. Kansas City Chiefs on the board, in case you didn't know. The reigning Super Bowl champion picks last in each round, unless it's traded. Last week, we had the Chiefs taking Ladd McConkey. Now, I don't think they double dip. I wouldn't be surprised if they did, but I don't think they do. That's not how they go about business and how they like to go through the roster building process. I don't think they go to tackle because this tackle board is kind of in a weird spot. I don't
Blake
think
they Fisher go could. To, they could take Blake Fisher, though.
They could.
He's the best. I think he's the best tackle available.
Yeah.
In my mind, at least.
Yeah. I think also they might want to. Ooh, hold on. They need an outside corner.
You go to their corner with Snead gone, yeah.
Sucks that Bowler is not really an outside corner, but I don't think that's going to work there.
Well, they could take Bullard, put him in the slot, and move McDuffie outside. I mean, McDuffie's an all-pro. They play him outside. Doesn't matter. He tackles. He
could, but
he's a good cover guy. It doesn't bother me to put him outside. At least
if they want to keep Bullard in the slot full-time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think it works.
You could.
He's a good player. Kyrie Jackson makes a lot of sense for them, too, if you wanted to take an actual outside corner.
I like Renato Green a lot.
I was about to say Renato Green because he fits their mentality really well. He's physical.
Yeah.
He loves getting in people's face, pressing. Hey, Green, again, early, but there's you got conviction behind it, and there's merit to it. I like that.
Yeah. I think it's just going to depend on what guy they like. I mean, I think Renato Green's pretty old. I think he's been in college for a while. I think Bullard has been a four-year guy, so he's probably a little bit younger. I don't know what they're looking for, honestly, between Bullard and Green. It's tough to say what kind of guy they would want, but it's second round of a mock draft. I'm not going to overthink it. I'm going to give them a guy that's probably higher on their list in Javon Bullard and just give him a really good tackling secondary. Like you said, you lose Jerry Sneed in a trade and you bring back a guy that isn't the same, you know, skill set, but is a really good tackler, can cover, can play in the box, can, you know, play safety. It can kind of do it all. And I think that'll be a solid pick and be something that, that the Chiefs are looking for with, taking two Georgia Bulldogs with their first two picks, but that will
not a bad way to go about business. Way to go about business.
Taking a good page team out of Howie Roseman's book with
good players,
the all Bulldog, process of going about the draft. But that'll wrap it up. Our fourth mock draft, our first second round mock draft. If you didn't listen to the episode last week, you probably want to because you would maybe be kind of lost on this episode. We did recap the picks at the top of the round, but still you're wanting to, you know, listen to the whole thing. You probably want to listen to three and then four right after. Probably be pretty helpful and make the process a little easier in terms of keeping track of who picked who. But that will do it for us. Like I said, fun one overall, only one trade where we had Denver trading up into the second round to make sure they can draft Bo Nix. I like that trade. I think it makes a lot of sense. And yeah, we just didn't really feel like pulling the trigger on any other trades earlier in the round. I think a lot of the teams really like this draft class and aren't going to want to move a whole lot, especially with their, you know, second pick in their class. So, like a lot of teams address needs. Some teams double dipped, like the Bills at receiver, the Packers at O-line. And a lot of teams took multiple guys in the trenches as well. So I think each team got something a little different that really fits what they need mixed with some quality talent. So I thought we did a good job with this one.
Absolutely. I mean, second round mocks are hard. There's just a lot that can go differently. There's going to be a lot of trades. at the top of round two, and even throughout round two, kind of teams flopping back, picking up, picking down. But again, round two is really where you team build. That's not true. It's really round, you know, day three. But round two is where you find round two and three where you find guys who are going to. It's team building now. I think you've got to be picking guys who are impact players in round two and three. Where you can really fill out the starting, you know, 25, 28 of your roster. If you include, you know, guys like extra edge rusher, one extra edge rusher, an extra DB, an extra receiver, you know, maybe a second tight end. You know, you factor in all the players that are going to play for you. It's really like starting 25 to 28. And this is where you can build that out really, really well by picking good players. So again, tough to do. I think we did a solid job though. Who knows how this plays out on draft night? Probably nothing close to it, knowing how second rounds go. Right. But again, trying to get some guys earlier than they're expected to go, later than they're expected to go. You know, a Cam Hart, a Max Melton, you know, guys of that nature. So, but yeah, we're really enjoying the second round mock. It's only been the only one that we do, the first and only one that we do. So first and last of the class. And like I said, getting into what we would do mock next week will be a lot different than the mocks we've been doing. Like for example, I wouldn't trade to 4 or 5 and take JJ McCarthy. Wouldn't do it. Won't be doing it because I will probably hold that pick unless we flop. So that's just an example of that. That'll be different. But again, looking forward to that one for sure. It'd be again a different process, but excited for it. And another week closer to the draft, and I'm pumped.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be awesome. I think when you look at the draft, such a loaded class. You know, some position groups are really deep, whereas some are top heavy, and some you want to get your guy by round three. Some you can wait till round five and still get a quality guy that could end up being a starter for you. So it's going to be a lot of fun to follow along with, you know, how each team goes about the process, more so this year than some other years, but it's going to be fun to be in person as well. I know we've said a bunch of times, but we'll be making the trip to Detroit, catching round one, day one, day two, and most of day three before having to fly back. Fly back home to Dallas. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I am going to miss having the master set up with the screens. I know freshman year was pretty solid on dorm. Sophomore year, we had, I think, 4 screens going. And last year, we had an elite setup with 2 55-inch screens, one with the ESPN cast, one with our master sheet. And then, you know, we have our laptops going as well. So we'll miss that this year for sure. And going to have to get back to it next year, figure out something to do. But yeah, this is the year to go in person. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait for it to get here. And we're looking forward to seeing everything is, you know, interacting with all these people from different fan bases and hopefully meeting some other Ravens fans. Be pretty cool. You know, obviously not a whole lot of Ravens fans in Texas, but for the draft, bound to be some fans from each team. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We are going to try to post stuff and get stuff to y'all, some good content. That we get from the draft from being there in Detroit, but appreciate y'all tuning in today. Whenever you are listening to this, coming out Monday morning, if you're listening to it Monday, Tuesday, whatever, we do have another episode coming out later this week. It's gonna be episode 75. We're gonna be covering a lot of stuff, maybe some playoff previews. We'll see with the NBA and NHL winding down here in the next week or two, and then also gonna be talking about some golf, biggest golf week of the year here coming up with the Masters week. And college baseball update, college basketball conclusion is tonight. If you're listening on Monday, we're going to be recapping the national championship game and all of that. So thank you all for tuning in. Stay tuned here. Some of the busiest times here on the podcast in March and April. And we'll see you all in a few days.
See you guys then.